I'm Richard Hake with Life After Sandy, WNYC series on the recovery and rebuilding after the storm. You've been hearing our stories about many of the residents and businesses whose lives were changed by Sandy. Some public spaces and national parks also took a big hit. For more than 100 years, people have been passing through Ellis Island, some as new immigrants and in later years as visitors to the historic site. Sandy's floodwaters covered the entire island. Parts of what once was the Immigrant Processing Center in New York Harbor are still severely damaged. WNYC's Caitlin Kim sat down with the curator of the Ellis Island Immigration Museum to check on the recovery.
Except for the hum of a generator, Ellis Island feels like a ghost town.
Well, normally there's a million people running around and boats in the ferry slip.
Diana Pardue would know. She's chief of museum services here. Inside the now empty Ellis Island Immigration Museum, she says she's seen many storms during her 20 years on the job, but never one that's caused water to come over the seawall. In preparing for Sandy, they never even thought about protecting the basement.
I'm used to having things happen, and then we pull everything together, and things are closed for a week or two, and then we reopen.
Despite the fact that the museum sits in the middle of the harbor, she says this is the first time water covered the entire island.
It took me a long time to really adjust to the fact that Ellis Island was going to be closed for at least a year.
Floodwaters blew out basement windows and destroyed the power panels, which knocked out the climate control system. That's what protected the more than 1 million artifacts housed at the museum from the elements, cold, heat, and humidity, which would otherwise damage the relics, dog-eared Bibles, sepia-tinted photos of immigrants on the island in the early 20th century, leather hat boxes that held travelers' most treasured possessions as they looked for a new start in the new world. Pardue and other Park Service staff spent about 6 weeks post-Sandy packing up items one by one and shipping them to a climate-controlled warehouse in Landover, Maryland.
Well, in a way, it made me feel sad because I helped put all these exhibits together, and it just felt sort of empty. But it also made me feel good because I felt like we were protecting all these valuable things that people had given to us.
But the closure also means saying no to families who had hoped to celebrate anniversaries of their ancestors' arrival to America. It means disappointing school groups or international organizations working to set up their own immigration museums. The focus for the Park Service has been on getting the Statue of Liberty open by July 4th. After that, work will really begin on Ellis. It gives the Park Service time to figure out how to rebuild smarter. As Pardue says, it's about doing it right this time, instead of just doing what was done 20 years ago.
One of the first things we all said is we do not want to just put things back exactly the way they were, because obviously there's going to be problems. So we're trying to figure out how to do it better and more sustainably.
They've talked about raising the seawall, waterproofing the basement, and moving utility panels to a higher floor. They're also redesigning the baggage exhibit. That was the large stack of trunks, bags, and suitcases that first greeted museum visitors. It will be split up into two piles rather than spread across the center of the room, which also makes it easier to move to the second floor. In many ways, Sandy was a wake-up call.
I mean, you know, having gone through this, it makes it easier to plan for the future and think of all the things that we need to do the next time we have a big storm, because there will be another storm.
By July 4th, the parkland on Ellis Island should be open to the public, if not the buildings. In the meantime, the huddled masses of tourists will remain just offshore on ferries passing by. For WNYC, I'm Caitlin Kim.
Visit WNYC.org to see photos, maps, and more stories from our series Life After Sandy. Tomorrow, we visit the remote and isolated beach communities of Fire Island on Long Island's South Shore to see how preparations are being made to welcome the summer crowds. For WNYC, I'm Richard Hake.